time, Tammy lost the keys of the car. And he was raging and carrying on, something awful. And then she found him and he said, well, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. I said, Brother Ross, you're supposed to say that when the keys are still lost. But at any rate,
I knew you were going to tell that story. I didn't start recording.
Well, there's so many of them that I wouldn't want to tell. Okay. I'm going to do something a little unusual today, and that is speak about my own experience of grace. I never have talked a lot other than an occasional story, but I wanted to leave a record of God's work in my heart. It's been a couple of weeks ago now. I was with my brother. I have a twin brother. We don't look alike, but we're twins. And my son Andrew asked me, he said, what was Dad like when he was young? And he said, he was a rebel. And that really disturbed me to think that somebody remembered that or that my son heard that. But we're glad that God saves sinners. As far as my conversion, I was under preaching that wasn't very sound. And I came under conviction and tried to get help from the people around me, but they didn't seem to be able to do anything but ask you to repeat a prayer. And that didn't seem to accomplish anything. But I was under conviction a long time. And finally God brought me to a place of peace. And I went on for a while, didn't seem to grow much, but one day something happened that caused me to think I needed to be more faithful to God. And I decided I would read the Bible every day, which I did. And I didn't know, but the Bible changes, you know. And I began to read the Bible. I remember reading certain verses that are very familiar to me now, but then I didn't know anything about them. I remember two verses in particular that lay hold of my heart. One was Proverbs 3:15, talking about wisdom. It says, she is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst are not to be compared unto her. And the other one is James chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men. And those two verses took hold of my heart. I remember I began to pray a lot, even on my bed at night, and ask God to lead me. But then I had to deal with the question, well, if God led you, would you do what he led you to do? And I began to pray. All I could say was, Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing. I can't say I'm willing to do anything, but I'm willing for you to work in my life. And I remember when God enabled me to say, thy will be done. I was speaking one night at a prayer meeting, and the presence of the Spirit of God fell on the place, and it was like waves of power. And of course, the Bible distinguishes, like in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Spirit, but they were also filled with the Spirit. The baptism with the Spirit is not ongoing. It happened once at Pentecost. But the filling with the Spirit is the Old Testament, New Testament, ongoing. Then people started asking me to preach. And after about a month, I thought, I must be a preacher. I really never had been around preachers. But like I said, I went on preaching for a while before I figured out that that was a call to preach. Now, in talking about wisdom, we want to explain some things about wisdom. First of all, wisdom is not education. Education can be good, but it's not good necessarily in and of itself. But wisdom is not education. It's not a degree. It's not the polish that comes from being around educated people. It's not having been published. Likewise, it's not something that's hidden. You don't have to go into some high eastern mountain or live in a cave to find out what wisdom is. In Job 28, Job, the inspired man, talks about this business of wisdom and where it is to be found. And listen to what the Spirit of God has written. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They were dried up, and there was none, and they were gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up the, as it were, fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. So God is talking about what man has learned and what man has brought out of the earth in agriculture and in mining. He says in verse 11, he turneth, he bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to earth. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? That is an important question. More important than where are diamonds, more important than how to grow more corn, is the question, where is wisdom to be found? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the hand of the living. The depth saith it is not in me, and the sea saith it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and for a way for the lightning of thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So God has looked over this universe. He's seen jewels in the depths of the earth. He's seen wonderful things brought forth. But he asked the question, where is wisdom to be found? And the answer is, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Wisdom is not bought with money. but with desire. It is desire that brings wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But that prayer comes from desire. In Proverbs 2, in verse 1, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So just as a man leaves everything behind and goes into the desert and seeks for gold or silver and cries out after these things, so that's how we receive wisdom. We have a great desire and we look to God for wisdom. Again, it's not education, it's supplication. It's not inherited, it's bestowed. You know, you don't have wisdom just because your parents did. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He had a son that was the dumbest man that ever lived. Rehoboam. I always say Rehoboam is Hebrew for doofus. It's not the object of pride, but humility. It's not sureness of ourself, but leaning on the everlasting arms. It's not the truth, but it's the love of the truth. Always remember, the fact that you believe the truth doesn't mean that you're wise. It's not the truth, it's the love of the truth. Men have wisdom when they receive the love of the truth. They may be even mistaken about some things, but if they love the truth, that's wisdom. The new birth is wisdom. Let me briefly expound a portion of Scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says this about our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. The Scripture says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now that text there gives us the order, the history of salvation in our own lives, which we refer to as the order of salvation. Now notice, "But of him are ye in Christ." It's not of ourselves that we're in Christ, but of him who of God has made unto us, now notice, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom is the new birth. Amen. When we're born again, we come to have a spiritual understanding and a spiritual attitude and a love of the truth. So Christ is first of all made unto us wisdom. And in that way, we come to love the truth. And then he's made righteousness. That's talking about the imputed righteousness of Christ. Then he's made sanctification. We grow in Christ. And then redemption, talking about the redemption of the body. So wisdom begins in our having been born again. And Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I always like the words of John Wesley. Somebody said, "Why are you always preaching on you must be born again?" He said, "Because you must be born again." Amen. And it's still true today. We can't go to heaven in the flesh, but we must be born again. Now, I want to talk about the value of wisdom. What makes wisdom so valuable? In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, it tells us something that happened in the life of Solomon. It says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" You talk about a genie in the bottle. That's nothing to the Almighty God saying, ask whatever you want. Notice what happened. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to set on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now notice, and the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among thee like the kings, like unto thee all thy days. Now, you notice what the Lord said here, what took place. God comes to Solomon, and he says, ask whatever you want. And Solomon says, Lord, give me wisdom. I'm weak. I'm a child. I'm not up to this great job. Give me wisdom. And God said, I like that. And I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. But because I like what you asked, I'm also going to give you everything you didn't ask for. You say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is it's still that way. You ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. And with it, he'll give you all the things you didn't ask for. You say, what are these things? Well, we have an example in Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You know, a lot of people have all the good things, but they're not happy. But when you have wisdom, you're happy. I had a lady say to me the other day, she said, you're the happiest person I know. And I didn't say anything back to her, but I thought, I always knew that. I never met anybody that was happier than me. I mean, even with the burdens I carry, having to deal with Brother Ross and so on. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all thy paths our peace. You see, God gave him wisdom, but he gave him all these other things. Say, I'd like to live a long time. Well, you get wisdom, you get eternal life. I'd like to have great wealth. Man, wealth above the value of rubies is found in wisdom. Then we find, in looking into the Bible, that wisdom is a divine person. That Jesus Christ is wisdom. In Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 23, the scripture says, wisdom crieth without, and uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates of the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Every time I read those words, it reminds me of the Gospel of John, where Jesus said that he would pour out his spirit upon him. And then, of course, we have Proverbs 8, which is another great example of Christ as the personification of wisdom. Proverbs 8 and verse 22, the scripture says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up. In the Hebrew, that's anointed. Christ is the anointed one. I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, dust of the world, which I suppose is man. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And so you have Jesus Christ shown as the personification of wisdom and how he had a relationship with the Father before the world began. I've heard people say several times in my life that the reason that God created man was because he was lonely. Isn't that foolish? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, an eternal covenant, God lonely? I don't think so. The Bible says, unto ye which are called Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. It says in another place, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's two places in the Bible. One place, it says, wisdom said. And then it tells you what it said. Then the other place, it says, Christ said. And you find that wisdom and Christ are the same one. Jesus Christ is the greater son of David. You say wisdom, David or Solomon was a wise man, but he did some foolish things. But remember, he was the son of David, but Jesus is the greater son of David. Now let's think a little further about that. Jesus is the Word. He's the light of the world. He's the truth. He's the source of our New Testament. Every doctrine of the Scriptures has its beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And then, wisdom has a work. You say, what is the work that wisdom finds to do? And remember, we're talking about those now that have gone to God for wisdom, cried out to the Lord for wisdom. First of all, we have the work of giving an invitation. In Proverbs 9 and verse 3, it says, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. It uses the illustration of maidens that are servants that are sent out with an invitation. But we're sent out to give the invitation of God to men. And we're to understand that God is sincere in these things. You know, one of the things I try to do, I believe in systematic theology. But it's a dangerous thing. And the reason it's dangerous is because we can never make our theological system big enough to reveal all that the Bible teaches. So I like to say this. I believe in what God teaches in the Holy Scriptures. I don't know how to fit it all together, but I believe it. But there's one other thing. I not only believe what God means, but I'm going to say what God says. People say, well, if you start talking about what God says, there's some things that are hard to reconcile. I don't have a trouble with them. I don't try to reconcile them. I don't worry about it. You say, how do you reconcile that? I leave that to God. But I'm going to believe what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to say what the Bible says. Amen. Then we have a house to build. Wisdom hath builded her house. Well, isn't that something? Wisdom has a house. I wonder what that is. Maybe we're in it right now. The church is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And it says, wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. It's a marvel how the Old and New Testament fit together. And we think of the fact that in every age, God has had a house. And then it's up to God's people to build the house. We're to instruct. And Proverbs 9:9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. And so we instruct. Another thing we have for God's house is we have a library. You say, how many books you got in your library? 66. And in that, you have everything you need. Amen. We have another work. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What a joy that is. The conversion of individuals is the joy of the preacher's life. Paul said, you're my joy and hope, my hope and joy and crown of rejoicing. So in conclusion, let me say, fear God. That's the beginning of the wisdom. Cry out to God for salvation. Cry out to God for understanding and for wisdom. Make sure that this is the great desire of your life. Be zealous in helping to build the house of God. Hear what God has to say. Brother Duval worked with me there in Independence for, I think, over 15 years. And he used to tell this story. He said, when I was a boy, we were in Sunday school one day, and I said, wisdom, experience is the best teacher. He said, I said that. I thought I was being profound. He said, an old man sat there. He said, son, wisdom's the teacher. It's not the best teacher. You know, wisdom can teach you through a broken heart. You can do in a second what a world, a lifetime can't undo. Experience is a teacher, but sometimes the lessons it teaches are hard to be understood and hard to endure. But the best teacher is to listen. I remember one time teaching through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night, and every evening that we were in that book, I would say to the young people, how do you recognize a wise man? Getting it out of the portion of scripture that we've been teaching. And the answer was always the same. He listens. He listens. I hope you're listening today. Well, we ought to have the attitude, don't go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you. May the Lord bless you.